Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends. Welcome, welcome. So happy to meet you here in my favorite part of the afternoon where we endeavor to find hope for healthy families. Now, listen, every Friday I do a show called Ask Dr. Nurse Mama, where I answer questions that I've been getting from around the country, around my community, around the world sometimes, in fact. And I hope you were able to catch the Friday show where I answered all of the questions about what do we do about this elephant in the room, or really it's the donkey in the room, right? The elephant and the donkey who crashed our living rooms last week with the presidential debate. Unless you have been living under a rock, you've likely been hearing about that. And I shared a word of encouragement about that and just wanted to point back to that and go back to that really briefly today, just in case you missed it or just in case you need to hear it again. And just a reminder that, yes, we have some craziness going on, and all of us have a growing collective alarm about the future of our country. But listen, our children are watching. They are learning from our response. They are listening to our words, watching our emotions on our faces, and making note of our posture and our gestures. So remember that no matter what you're facing today, no matter what seems out of control, that God is in control. He is not in heaven wringing his hands. He is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. So assure your family of your faith in a God who is in control. We can take so much peace and hope in that. Second, make sure you're praying for our country. Make sure we're praying as much as we are worrying. And as a last word of encouragement, I know this is going to be harder for some of you than others, but take a break from the news. It is not good for us to have scary headlines infusing our hearts and our souls 24/7. So take a break and go back and take a listen to that Friday episode. I would love for you to have that encouragement that I shared. And today we have more encouragement coming to you. I am really excited to have our guest, Ashley Morgan Jackson. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's a social media expert. And she is passionate about helping us to learn to let go of the lie that we have to perform for God's love and that we can just receive his love just as we are. She's a wife. She is a mom to two growing boys. She lives in North Carolina. And she is the author of the book, Tired of Trying, How to Hold On to God When You're Frustrated, Fed Up, and Feeling Forgotten. So listen, this message is for you today. What if that hard thing you're going through is not happening to you, but for you? Maybe you've tried it all. You've said the right words in the prayers and read the right Bible verses, but nothing seems to work. What do you do when your faith doesn't seem to be working anymore? That is what we're going to talk about today. Ashley, welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'll tell you, Ashley, it's just really refreshing to hear somebody be so honest, because I think this message is obviously resonating with people. I mean, the book has been really successful. You have talked to so many people on social media. Tell us a little bit of your story and when you first realized you were just tired of trying.
Yeah, I really think that it came to a head for me, and where the book is based out of, after about a 5-year season of struggling with my mental health. And a lot of it was based in a frustration that I wanted God to help me and heal me and fix me. And it wasn't happening the way that I thought. The places that I would go to God's word, I had known God's word for years and years, and it almost felt like it wasn't working. But what I realized is that I wanted God to fix it for me, and instead he was going to require my participation in it, which I have to be honest, I didn't want to participate. I wanted him to just fix it. But at the end of the day, I got to a point where I said, even if you don't fix this, I don't know where else to turn. Like what Peter says, to who else would we go? And I loved him at that point, and I decided I'm going to walk through this with you rather than without you.
Well, that is something that we can all resonate with, you know, and feel like it is really tiring. And I think when we look at, just as I was talking about, the news headlines, and we look at the state of things, and we think about raising our kids today, and we're just overwhelmed by bad news all the time. I think that really impacts our mental health more than we're willing to talk about, because we're told to, you know, keep on going, keep on trying, be strong, be superhuman, be a super mom, you know, wear your superwoman cape, or, you know, those kinds of things. But you really are very, very authentic in talking about mental health and how those struggles have impacted you. Can you share a little bit about that and what it took for you to be able to come and just to share openly and to say your humanness that we all know that we have? But how was that journey for you?
Yeah, I think something that is maybe frustrating, if we're aware enough, is that we do not have it all together. But there is this pressure from social media, but probably just our regular lives, to be okay all the time. And we don't know what to do when we aren't okay. I would get so frustrated in those seasons when it was so hard, because you walk into church and people mean well and say, "How are you?" And you think in the back of your head, if I told you how I really was, you would probably tell me I need to go get some professional help, which I probably did. But I think for me, just coming to the place where I didn't want to see this struggle as something that I had to hide, because the more I hid my mental health struggles, the more I suffered from them, because it was then not only a mental health struggle, but then also shame on top of that, that I wasn't a good Christian. I wasn't having enough faith. I wasn't applying God's word. And I realized maybe it's not that simple. Maybe sometimes we try to oversimplify things with Christianese, and that really was trying to tempt me to push away from God. Like, if I can't bring my honest, true, broken heart to him exactly how it is, if I have to try harder and I'm tired of trying, then what kind of relationship do I really have with him? And so I decided, Lord, I have these broken pieces. I don't know if you can use them or what you can do with them, but I'm willing to give them to you. And that's been my story ever since, is like, I'm not fully healed of all my mental health. I still struggle every day and think, what is wrong with me? But I can give my broken pieces to him every day and say, if you can use this, it's yours.
You know, I think you bring up a really important point, because, you know, Ashley, we talk a lot about the pressure that we see on social media and the pressure to feel like things are perfect, you know, and always feeling like, even though we know that what we're posting on social media is pictures like that are family pictures where you're telling your kids, stop hitting each other, be nice to each other. Why can't you just stand still for just a minute? Like, why do you have to be so difficult? And then we post it on social media and say, hashtag family time, love my family. And so we know intuitively, right, that what we're posting is fake, but somehow what everybody else is posting is real. But I think the other thing that we don't talk about a lot is that we also have this expectation from watching movies that our story is linear, you know, that like we have a challenge, we have a, you know, something that comes in, and then we overcome it, and then there's a happy ending. And we kind of view that for seasons in our life. Like, okay, Ashley, you know, you had a struggle with your mental health. You struggled through it. You figured out how to work that out. And then now life is really good. But you just said, like, I still struggle with that every day. How do we come to accept that our lives are not like social media or, you know, a made-for-TV movie that's going to have a nice little conclusion in 90 minutes, and we're still tired of trying? Like, we don't want to try anymore. So where does that fit in?
Yeah, that's so good. And I'm hoping, you know, through shows like yours or books like mine, being willing to be honest about that struggle, because then people know that they're not alone. But I was thinking about that earlier today and realizing that often this is a burden that I'm putting on myself through the culture, like you said, watching the movies, comparing ourselves on social media. We have written a version of what Christianity is supposed to be, of what our lives are supposed to look like, and like you said, how it's supposed to go. We're taking steps up, and I feel like I've taken a lot of steps now, and this is not feeling awesome like I thought it would. And realizing then when God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, maybe it's that I've taken a different yoke than what he is giving me. And I've come to realize that I think I'm a lot harder on myself than God is on me. And the only place to get freedom is in God's word. I think the more we listen to Jesus' words and how he spoke to people and how he loved them, I was struck this morning about how he had such compassion on the crowds that were with him, that he wanted to feed them. He cared about their needs. And sometimes we're getting so far ahead of ourselves in what it's supposed to look like, rather than letting God minister to us where we are and have compassion for us where we are, even if that doesn't look perfect. And we don't have to look any farther than Jesus to see, wow, his life wasn't perfect either. He really suffered a lot, and yet God chose that path for him to accomplish what he wanted him to accomplish.
Yes, and that is, you know, that's so hard, Ashley. That's a hard message to give, and I'm sure it's a hard ministry for you to bear, because you know what I think sometimes? I think, why didn't God give me the ministry of like Annie Downs? You know, that sounds fun. Like, that sounds fun. Right. I would love to have a message like that. But instead, he's given you messages like tired of trying, like, but I'm still trying. And he's given me messages like behind closed doors. Yep. Life is hard. And we all have, you know, drama and relational baggage and garbage. But I think, you know, but God, that is the story that he has given both you and both me to share. Why is it so important for people to share their stories and to share that struggle? Because I think about that, you know, as you and I have both written a book, and I tell everybody, it's not like, oh, I have all the answers now. I have it all together, so let me write it in a book. It's just, no, I just found the courage to say I don't. But here's what I've learned about God along the way. So why is it important to share our stories like that?
I think it's so important to lift the veil of what we are trying to project to the world, because people suffer alone. That's why people isolate. They think, I am the only one who struggles with this particular issue or has family issues or, you know, feels broken at church. And when we can, it doesn't have to be like you or I in the way of writing a book or even, you know, sharing on social media. It can be as simple as going to coffee with someone. And if you have gone through something where, you know, maybe life isn't perfect, and probably it isn't, but you can say, but God has been faithful. God does love us. God will see us through. And he works through our imperfections, praise Jesus, because they aren't going
we have a
anywhere
lot.
Fast. Yeah, we do. We do. And so being able to release that, it's your testimony. I talk about in my book that once you've wrestled with God, you walk away with a limp. And your limp is your position of authority from what you've been through because you went through that wrestle. And so it's so important to encourage people who are just entering their own wrestling seasons about the faithfulness of God.
Ashley, I love that. Well, first of all, I love that you said my favorite phrase in the history of ever, but God has been faithful. So to be able to stand next to someone and you've been down the road ahead of them and you can say, but God has still been faithful. And I love what you say too about being a position of authority. We think of it as a position of weakness or pain. That's a position of authority. Well, we're up against a break here, Ashley, but when we come back, I want to ask you about wrestling with God and talking about how that happened to Jacob, and how that happened to you. And I want to explore more of that walking away with a limp. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Ashley Morgan Jackson and Tired of Trying. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, but did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. Well, if there was ever a message for a Monday, that is it. That song is Speak to the Mountains by Chris McClarney. And listen, we won't be shaken. We won't be moved because our God is faithful and his promise is true. And today we're talking about, are you tired of trying? How do you hold on to God when you're frustrated, fed up, and feeling forgotten? We're talking to Ashley Morgan Jackson. She is no stranger to this kind of spiritual exhaustion and discouragement. And much like the biblical character Jacob, Ashley wrestled with God, and she tried desperately to keep trusting him despite her pain and the circumstances she was facing. But it was here that she found that sometimes God requires us to hold on to him so that we can let go of everything holding us back. Ashley, we are so glad to have you on the show today and just be sharing so transparently your journey. Tell us about wrestling with God like Jacob did in the Bible.
Well, the interesting thing about Jacob was he was stuck in a hard place. And he had been working for his father-in-law, Laban, and Laban had started to cheat him. But God started moving and talking about him returning to his homeland. The problem was that he was going to then have to face his past and the choices that he had made when he tricked his brother and stole his birthright and all of those things. And the last thing he knew is that his brother wanted to kill him. So I think I related so much to Jacob in this place where you feel like God is asking you to move on, but you don't know if you're ready. You don't know what that's going to look like, but you know you can't stay where you are. And a lot of times it's that feeling of frustration. But then Jacob prays, and I thought it was so fascinating that while God could have, you know, gave him a answer directly from his mouth, he instead comes and has a wrestle with him. And we're so familiar with these Bible stories sometimes that we don't think about, like, God is there in a wrestling him, like he's grabbing onto him. It's hard. It's intimate. It is painful. And that just resonated so much with me because there's no way that Jacob should have been able to hold on to God in that time. There's just no way. I mean, it's God. But God allowed him the strength to keep holding on in order to reveal to Jacob not only who he was, God, but to reveal to Jacob who he really was by giving him his true identity by the end. And so I began to see that in my own wrestle. Okay, I'm going to hold on to you, and you are going to have to give me the strength to do that because I don't want to. I don't want to hold on. This hurts. This is hard. And it was through that wrestle that God began to reveal to me the change that he wanted to make in me as well.
You know, I think that's so honest and so thought-provoking because a lot of times, Ashley, we view our faith as very transactional with God. Like, if I do all of the right things, if I go to church, if I pray, if I live my life, you know, really well, and I'm president of the PTA, then God is going to bless me. And, you know, all of that's going to be fine. But I think there are people out there who have tremendous faith, who are really trying to do all of the right things, and it just seems like nothing goes their way. And they experience things that are unfair and unkind and unthinkable. I mean, I can think of people in my life who have experienced unimaginable tragedy that is just not their fault. So what do you say to people who just feel like, you know, I tried the faith thing and it's not working out for me. It's not working. How do you encourage them?
I think the first thing that I would say to them is, I'm sorry. I think sometimes we want to jump so quickly to solutions and we want to hand out Bible verses like Band-Aids and just put this on and you'll be fine. And I think there has to be a space for this wrestle, for the grief. And like you are saying, there are things that I have no concept of, the pain that people have had in their lives, and that I'm so sorry that God didn't do something different when he could have. And I have a chapter in my book called When God Hurts Your Feelings. And we know God is perfect. We know God doesn't do that. But when we're wrestling through, we have to come to this conclusion that actually I'm struggling with my relationship with God because he didn't do things that I know he could have. And so the first thing that I would say, besides I'm sorry that you're walking through that or have been through that, but be honest with him. I think we've sort of been taught that we can only have certain words and thoughts and feelings when it comes to our relationship with God, but we cannot have intimacy with anyone without honesty. Our marriages wouldn't last a year if we only said the nice words, and we only ever spoke things that were, you know, good or whatever. We have to be honest with our challenges, with our struggles. And that, I think, is the permission sometimes that we need to say, God, I'm frustrated. Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why is this allowed to remain in my life? And I think the temptation is to resent God. But if we can look at it in a way of that we can hold on to him instead, then maybe we'll find the beauty and the blessing that will come, not because or through that pain, but on the other side of it.
You know, this is something that I have lived very personally myself, Ashley, and I was praying for a relationship restoration in my life, and in my mind and my wisdom, you know, I thought, how can God not see relationship restoration as a good thing? You know, and I was honestly, just like you're describing, I was angry that he didn't restore my relationship. I mean, specifically with my mother, when I was praying about that and thinking, how can that not be a good thing? But I'll tell you, for me, Ashley, God gave me a scripture from Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And what I had to realize was that something that I saw as good, God saw better. And in time, I came to see that there's some separation and distance in that relationship at the time. He was faithful to keep his word that he gave me in the psalm, because like the sun, God lit my path. He showed me the way to go. And he revealed things I had never been in an emotional place to see before. I just don't think I would have seen those things and had healing like I had. His companionship warmed my spirit. His light illuminated sin in my own life. It gently pushed me towards repentance. And like a shield, God protected me from destructive patterns of communication. He protected me from words that caused me pain. He protected me from unhealthy generational relationship dynamics. And I look back at that and it's so hard to see, because at the time I thought, oh no, God, I know better. This is good. This is better. But I had to hold on to that and think, even something I saw as good, God didn't. And I had to trust him in that, but that's so, so hard to do. So what are some symptoms, Ashley, that we would notice in our lives when we're tired of trying? What is the outcome? Like, what if we're at that place and we think, all right, I'm at a tipping point here, much like I just described, I was at a tipping point, you were. How do we know when we're at that tipping point? When is the danger sign flashing?
Yeah, so one of the symptoms might be frustration. You're frustrated that, you know, the Lord's not answering, or you don't see an answer or a conclusion to this pain that is constantly in your path. Another symptom might be you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed by life. Everything seems to be piled on top of you, one thing after another, and it's like you can't find rest. Another might be cynicism. You know, everything's bad. Everything's wrong. There's no hope in your eyesight at all. But another way is also apathy, where, okay, I'm just going to check out. It hurts too much to care. So I think a better, more safe way is to be apathetic. But if we start seeing these things in our lives, we need to see them as red flags for our internal health and our spiritual health. Because something is off. The Lord wants us to live free. He wants us to live in hope. He wants us to live in love. And I know there's sometimes this huge gap between what we're living and what God says is for us. But we can't ignore. We have to go to him. Even recently, I'm saying, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me in this season? Am I not hearing it? Is there something that I'm missing? And the hardest part in all of this is to wait and to not blow past his answer or make up our own answer, because it hurts sometimes to wait. But if we continue to ignore it, I always think of like a gaping wound on a child or something, and they're screaming and they're running around. And the parent is like, let me look at that. Let me look at that. And they're like, no. the wound can't be, it can't be addressed. It can't be fixed. It can't be helped if we're trying to run away from what God might need to address in us. And the gaping wound for us might be these symptoms of frustration, overwhelm, cynicism, or apathy.
You know, I think so many times we just want God to transform our circumstances, when what he really wants is to transform our heart. And that is such a hard thing to do, because when we're praying about it, we're praying, we usually are praying, you know, okay, God, change this person, you know, open this door, give me this resource. Like, those are the things that we're praying for. We don't usually say like, okay, God, mold me, make me into who you want me to be. Those are much harder prayers to pray, but you know, our hearts and our minds can be transformed when we accept his invitation to walk into that open door and to walk through that season and trusting him no matter what our circumstances are. But then I think that we just start to tell ourselves lies during those seasons so many times. And the enemy whispers those lies to us. And it's crazy to me how quickly we accept those lies and we reject the truth. You know, we're much more, we think God forgot about me. God doesn't care about me. You know, I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of good things in this life. Like, we just take those and wear them as our identity, when we know the things that are true is that God is for us. We are more than conquerors. I mean, those are the truth. Why is it so important to identify those lies that we tell about ourselves or the lies that we tell about God?
It's so important, because what we think about regularly, if they are lies, they will shape every aspect of our lives. So we have to start taking those thoughts captive. Just like Jesus said, you know, we have to take our, or Paul, we have to take our thoughts captive and make them obey Christ, because they are wild and they're just going to lead us down a path that we don't want. And I think a lot of times we are starting to create a life that is negative and just really cynical because we only focus on lies. And it is a fight. It is a true fight. I mean, when it says take those thoughts captive, I think this is no passive action. And I am someone who loves my feelings. And my feelings are always telling me the worst case scenario. She doesn't like you. This will never get better, et cetera, et cetera. And to fight for truth, I mean, we have to be in God's word. We have to remind ourselves. And I understand when you are tired of trying, sometimes you're like, ugh, it's just so hard to even open God's word. Well, put on a sermon. Put it on audiobook. Do whatever you can to get that truth inside of you. Because if the enemy can get you to believe lies, he will stop every good thing that God has for you. Because we get to choose. We get to choose what we think about. And I know it's so hard, but we have to fight for those truths.
It's so hard to do. And I mean, I'll just be really honest with you, Ashley. I mean, there are days myself when I fail and I grieve. And if I'm really honest, sometimes, you know, I'll feel a longing for the comforts of old chains, which is so terrible. But when I face the future and I fear the unknown, I think, you know, let me run back there, because this is just, this is exhausting. And some days, you know, my head hangs low in defeat. I feel vulnerable. I feel weak. But I'll tell you what, Ashley, on those days, I have learned to grant myself the grace that God affords me, because I know that, just like you said, through his word, that he gives me personally, new mercies every single morning. And that is how often I need them. He doesn't say you get a lifetime supply, like once, you know, in a lifetime or once a month or every Sunday morning. Every single morning, his mercies are new. And I have learned, Ashley, to celebrate each victory, no matter how small, because we've learned to only celebrate like the end of the story or the big triumphant. But sometimes the big thing to celebrate is, hey, I got up out of bed this morning and I got dressed. Like that's good. That's where I need to be today. Yeah. And I remember how far I've come. I've learned to journal the ways that God has shown himself faithful. And when I feel in those days of defeat and I think, oh my goodness, you know, everything just seems down and discouraging, I go back and I think about that song, I've witnessed it. You know, I think I've witnessed God's faithfulness in my life, and it's here. Yeah. And as I picture God, it, like as in Zephaniah, singing those over me and saying, I am with you, I am for you. Well, I've got more questions for you, Ashley. We're up against a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the purpose that is found in pain. And I want you to speak specifically to that person I know is listening who is in the thick of it and tempted to give up on God, and what you're going to say to encourage them to hold on a little longer. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. That song I mentioned in the second segment, it's called I've Witnessed It. It's by Melody Malone and Passion Conferences. And I'll tell you, the first time I heard that song in church on a Sunday morning, I stood there with tears pouring down my face for everybody to see, completely cried off my mascara, and I'm not even sorry. It's such a good message. We have witnessed God's faithfulness. We've seen him. I have seen him breathe life within, and I have learned to just pour out my praise again that God is worthy. He is worthy of all of it. We're talking today to Ashley Morgan Jackson, the author of Tired of Trying, How to Hold On to God When You're Frustrated, Fed Up, and Feeling Forgotten. And this book, it is rich with biblical encouragement. It has a lot of, honestly, Ashley, hilarious personal stories in there, practical application, and it's an invitation to wrestle and face God in your greatest fears, your pain, and your unanswered questions. And some of the things that Ashley seeks to do in this book is to help you break out of the cycle of frustration by saying yes to wrestling with God. Identify the lies that you believe about God, the lies you believe about yourself, and the lies you believe about your circumstances, and replace them with the truth. She also helps you to shift your perspective so that you can choose faith, choose to persevere, and choose to discover God's purpose for you. So Ashley, I'm so appreciative of this conversation. I think we can all identify with this at some point in our lives, some of us longer than others. And I want to talk about purpose in pain. Do you think that purpose can be found in pain? And what encouragement can we have from those who do share and do find that?
I think the purpose is not in the pain itself, but that purpose can come out of the pain. Even the story you were sharing earlier about your mom, and I have my own struggles and the listeners have their own, is that we don't want to think, you know, obviously God does not send these pains into our lives in order to make purpose for us. But because the world is broken, and because relationships are hard, and because sin exists, we all experience pain. We all experience things that are hurtful. And we do get the choice, what are we going to do with that pain? And it's really being able to say, you know, obviously when we're walking through it, that's not what we're focusing on. All we need to focus on in the middle of it is holding on to God when we are frustrated, fed up, and feeling forgotten. But the purpose often can come through on the other side, and realizing, like when God changed Jacob's name, he said, you will no longer be Jacob, you will be Israel. And we still know that name today. And what is the impact that our choosing to wrestle could have on the generations that are coming behind us, or the people that are surrounding us, that God wants to do something so deep within us that it then therefore impacts everyone around us. And I think that is the purpose that we can look for.
Well, that is really encouraging and important to say, yes, that, I mean, God is for us, but he does allow circumstances to happen in our lives because we live in a broken world, exactly like you said, that are for our good and for his glory. And that is so hard to have. And so what would you say, Ashley, to someone who is just in it? They are done. They are fed up. They are just tempted. We see a lot about, you know, ex-evangelicals or deconstructing your faith. And they're thinking, that is looking really good right now. Maybe this is just not for me. What is your message for them?
I think, if we're honest, all of us have those moments where if this is what it's supposed to be, then I'm not sure that I want it. But what I would say is that there is something that God is doing because God is good. And we have to be able to have a true relationship with him. And sometimes I think it's through these times when he's stripping away all the religiosity, all the box checking, all the things that we're trying to do to look good and pass or perform, and instead say, Lord, I need you desperately. That's the way that we were when we cried out to him for salvation. And I remember I wanted my parents to save me. I wanted my friends to save me. I wanted my circumstances to save me. And he wouldn't allow any of those things to save me because he said, Ash, you already have a savior. And it's not them. And sometimes I believe if we can just look to him to be our savior again and say, like I said earlier, this is what I've got. Do you want it? Because he does. He wants our broken pieces. He says in Isaiah 61 that Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted and to give a crown of beauty for ashes. That was his role, and it still is his role today.
You know, you remind me of a time I was having, I borrowed this from another guest, intense fellowship with my husband. We were fighting. We were having an argument because, you know, we both came into this marriage with a lot of baggage, you know, and I had such, you know, such wounds from childhood that I really expected him to take care of. And I expected him, and I would just, I remember arguing and saying, well, if you would just do this and this and this, everything would be fine. And one day, Ashley, I remember him looking at me and saying, dead seriously, like very seriously, he said, "You do realize, don't you, that I am not Jesus, right?" And it was kind of, you know, hurtful slash hilarious. Like it was just it, but it was a revelation for me. And I realized, ooh, yes, that is what I'm expecting of you. Even if I wouldn't have said that, but yeah, that's what I'm expecting. And I think that is so hard to do. And so you say, Ashley, in your book, that transformation and blessing will come if we hold on to God, you know, looking at just not our husbands, not our circumstances, not our families, not our finances, not any of those other external securities. What did that look like ultimately for you?
I think for me, it was being rooted more deeply than ever in Jesus. And it reminds me of when you go through these seasons of wrestling and you hold on to him for dear life and you come through and it's been painful and you leave wounded, but you know what you have been through and it changes you because you see God's faithfulness through that. And how many of us, that is our testimony. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was painful, but God got me through. And it reminds me of when the man who built his house on the rock. And I don't want to be swept away by my suffering. I want to be able to hold firm. I want my house to be not built on sand, but on the rock. And I think that the blessing that came for me is now when these new seasons arise in my life, which I am in the middle of one right now, is that because of God's faithfulness in the past, I now have tools. I now know where to put my mind. I know that I can move the direction of my heart a little more quickly because of holding on to him through that period of time. And that is the greatest blessing that we can have, is true intimacy and knowing Christ and to be known by him.
Ooh, and that just takes me back to those lyrics from that song that we just played. When I was lost and all alone, your presence was there where I found home. You were there. And you're here right now. I mean, this song gutted me, I'm telling you. In every high and every low, you never left me without hope. You were good and you're good right now. And sometimes that can be really hard to say out loud, to honestly say, yes, you were good even when things were not good. And you're good right now, even when circumstances are not good, that God is still good in all of that. And, you know, I look around at today's culture, Ashley, and we see a culture that is searching. I mean, self-help books are through the roof. Let me tell you, I don't need any help from myself. Myself got myself into a lot of trouble. Why is this book and this message for today's cultural moment, right here, right now, meeting people where they are?
I think it's just important for us to talk about the reality of walking with Christ. Like what we were talking about earlier, that it's not linear. It's not I'm supposed to be so much further on. I thought by middle age, I would have things more figured out and I would be stronger and more spiritual. And I think I'm just more aware how I don't have it together. But I think that makes us dependent on him. And I think that's what he wants. And I think the message is important right now to say, don't give up. You can take your frustration to him. You can take your, you know, overwhelm and all of that, but don't let the enemy push you into resentment because God is not being the God that you want him to be. If he was the God that we wanted him to be, it would be a God made in our own image, because this is not how I would do it, God. And that's so hard in our culture because we're so self-focused that actually when we lay down our rights, that is us surrendering and submitting to a God that knows better than us, even though it doesn't feel good right now. So I hope it both helps people feel less alone, that it's okay to be honest about our struggles, but also to point us back to the truth that God is for us, but we have to bow our knee to him, even when we don't understand.
You know, I've shared this quote often that I've heard, that if God was small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshiped. And what kind of God do we want that's, you know, like a God in a box that we could just easily explain? I mean, that wouldn't be God. And I think so many times we want to have it both ways. You know, we want to have a God that's small enough to be understood, but also big enough to be worshipped. And that's just not the case. Well, what is your hope for this book, Tired of Trying, Ashley? What is your hope as people read it?
I just hope that they feel like they have a friend. And I know that we might never meet one another, but that you'll feel like we're sitting having coffee, just talking about how hard life is sometimes, but we're going to get up again and we are going to trust God, and we're going to get to the end of our lives, whenever that is. And we're going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And sometimes that will look like, well done holding on to me when I know you did not want to. So yeah.
That is really hard. Will you say, I'm reading from your book, choosing to wrestle isn't easy or quick, but it does have purpose. What seemingly tears us down may be an opportunity to grow. God is good at redeeming heartache. When we reach the place where the only choice is to run to God or run from him, we can hold tight, because transformation and blessing will come. And I know you're in a season of change again, Ashley, and thinking that, you know, maybe life doesn't look like what you thought it would even a year ago. And what has that been like for you to just share that journey and to trust God continually? Like you said, it's not linear. It's messy. It's looping. It's back and forth. Sometimes it's, you know, 3 steps up, 10 steps down, you know, it feels like. What has that been like for you? And what do you see as next?
Well, I joke that I didn't realize when I was going to write a book called Tired of Trying that would become my life motto, you know, and it's been a difficult season of letting go. And a lot of times God can't give us the next thing until we let go of the last thing. And that takes a lot of faith. And, you know, I might step out in faith, but I have a post that I put up like, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to throw a pity party first for sure, but we'll get there eventually. So we are shuffling in and out of pity party and then back into, okay, God, I know you're going to do something. So to be honest, I have no idea what the next season looks like concretely. I am just like, okay, I think you've given me these gifts. I guess you've given me this platform. Whatever you want me to do with it, or take it away. I'm fine with that too. Whatever you want.
You know, I just really I was just going to say, I think pity parties are in the Bible, actually. They may not be called that, but I think about when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. And then all of a sudden he's sitting down saying, yep, I'm so bummed. I don't even think I can go on anymore. I mean, we see that. Well, listen, get your copy of this book, Tired of Trying, How to Hold On to God When You're Frustrated, Fed Up, and Feeling Forgotten by Ashley Morgan Jackson. She will help you. She sees you who are spiritually exhausted, if you feel forgotten, to find the strength to continue holding on to him, letting go of what holds you back, wrestling and facing God with your fears, your pain, your unanswered questions, identifying the lies you believe about themselves and replacing them with the truth. Thank you so much for joining us today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you. And I can't wait to see you next time, where we're prescribing more hope for healthy families.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.